Imagine a world where there is complete, total, enforced, and permanent peace. Where joy abounds and good health prevails, so much that people live for hundreds of years. You're going to have health. Imagine a world where the curse is removed, where the environment is restored to the pristine purity of the Garden of Eden, where peace reigns even in the animal kingdom, as we just read. So that the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Can you imagine a little boy leading a lion? I brought my lion for a walk. Can you imagine? Because they're not going to be carnivore anymore. There's going to be perfect peace, even in the animal kingdom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. We are a small fellowship of diverse believers who want to serve our Lord and do His will. You can find out more about our fellowship at ccechopart.com. Join us for a live stream on Sunday in the New Testament and Wednesday evenings in the Old Testament. Now let's get into the Word of God in our weekly podcast. The teaching is from Pastor David Higa and will be the study of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the book of Revelation.
Chapter 20, verse 1. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand." Verse 2. "And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Okay, so just prior to this, we noted in Revelation 19, verses 19 and 20 there, that the false prophet and the Antichrist, right, they're cast into Gehenna. So they're not dealt with anymore, right? It's done. They're in Gehenna. But notice, the dragon, Satan, he's not cast into Gehenna now. He's bound in the abyss for 1,000 years, the bottomless pit. And then we also note in verse, at the end of verse 3 there, that he's going to be released for a time. So during this 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ, Satan is not going to be allowed to deceive the nations anymore. And that's why the millennial rule is going to be such a great, great millennial rule. Jesus is going to be on the throne, and we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. Righteousness is going to exist. Peace, security. Nobody's going to get ripped off anymore. People are going to live a long time. You don't have to worry about getting a disease or getting sick, right? People are going to live for a long time. They're still going to live by faith, the ones that are still living, but they're going to live for a long time. There's going to be healing of the nations, right? Because Satan's going to be bound too. He's not going to be able to tempt them, deceive them. But at the end of the millennium, which we're going to cover in a couple weeks, that Satan's going to be loose. He's going to lead another rebellion. Okay? But this is a reestablished earth. It's how earth ought to be run. And it's not being run like that now, right? But there'll be a time when righteousness is going to rule. People are going to live for a long time, and there's going to be a perfect government. It's going to be God's government. It's going to be Jesus' government. There's going to be a perfect rule. It's going to be Jesus' rule. There's going to be a righteousness that rules, because the Lord is righteous. It's not what we have here, but we will have that in the millennial kingdom. And this is why, people, it's something that we look forward to. This life, nothing to look forward to. This life isn't getting better. This is just a blip on the screen. That's why I believe the scripture teaches us always upward and forward. We're only here for a little while, a short time. Average age, I keep on mentioning, it keeps on going up a little bit. I think in the U.S. it's greater than around the world, but the average age is about like 79 in the U.S. That's a blip on the screen, people. That's nothing compared to eternity. You know what 79 divided by eternity is? It's zero. You ever take an algebra class? 79 divided by infinity is zero. This life is zero compared to eternity. You understand? All this in Revelation, from Revelation chapter 6 to 19, all this judgment, it's the introduction to eternity. It's just the introduction. And so we need to live this life of faith with our eyes firmly fixed on eternity, because it's better. It's better in the millennial kingdom, and it's going to be extremely better, infinitely better in the eternal state. Our eyes are fixed on the future. That's our hope, okay? And so the devil, he's bound for 1,000 years in the abyss. No more. He's going to be allowed to tempt and to deceive the nations. There's going to be perfect rule, perfect righteousness. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. We'll talk about that, why he's released, next week or maybe the week after that, okay? But I want you to notice this. Notice it's another angel that has authority over Satan. Casts him into the bottomless pit, chains him up, and he's the one that sets a seal upon. I want you to notice this because Satan has limited power. I think oftentimes we think of Satan and it's comparable with Jesus. No, Jesus is God. Jesus is all authority. Greater is he that is in you, which is the Lord, than he that is in this world. There's no comparison. It's another angel that's binding Satan. Jesus, he just says the word and he's gone. That's the power that you have inside. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I want you to notice this, that all authority is in Jesus. Satan is a fallen angel. Now, we shouldn't diminish the power of Satan, but we have somebody that's greater in us, and that's the Lord Jesus. Okay, I want you to notice that. Now, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Now, who are these thrones? Who's on these thrones? Notice, it says, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, notice it says that these thrones, it's not the Lord's throne, it's thrones, it's plural, right? And notice it says, and they sat on them. Who's the them? And who are these thrones? What are these thrones about? Well, it just spells it out. These are the tribulation saints. Who are the tribulation saints? Those are the ones that did not take the mark of the beast and they died for their faith. Those were the ones that we saw, their souls are under the altar and they're crying out to the Lord, how long, O Lord, faithful and true, before you avenge our death at the hands of Satan? Remember, the Lord tells them just a little while longer until that last person gives his life to the Lord. Well, these tribulation saints, right, they're now right on these thrones and they're going to receive their resurrected bodies. As I mentioned, they're going to become guests to the marriage supper as well with the Old Testament saints, right? But notice they're sitting on thrones. What does that mean? Well, they're going to judge too. These are the guests of the bride. The church is going to judge with Christ. They're going to be given different vicinities around this earth to judge, to be judges, to judge those that are living on this earth. But then these tribulation saints and the Old Testament saints, they're going to be in their resurrected bodies too. They're going to sit on thrones also, and they're going to judge as well. Now, I'm going to start to give you some scriptures on the millennial kingdom from the New Testament and the Old Testament. I got to say, there's a lot of them. All right, and so I'm going to cross-reference that, and it's going to give you the verbiage on how we are to judge, and then how the Old Testament saints, how they're going to inherit the millennial kingdom as well. And this all gives, I think, support for receiving or interpreting a physical, literal millennial kingdom. It's all over Scripture. Matter of fact, you know, I have about 8 pages of Scripture. I'm going to cross-reference. I'm not going to read them all to you. I'm going to cherry-pick, but I'm going to give you these 8 pages of Scripture. I'm going to give you the address. I'd like you to read it in your own time. And these all support a literal, physical millennial kingdom for Israel and for the church and for the tribulation saints. There's going to be a physical rule and reign, and we're going to rule with him. Okay, so with that, I'm going to start to take you to some of these scriptures, okay, in the next 5 minutes or so. I'm only going to cherry pick. I'm not going to read all of them. Okay, so firstly, the New Testament scriptures. Thrones. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, let me read that to you. Mark this in your notes. You don't even have to turn that. I'm going to read this to you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 28. So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Who's Jesus speaking to? 12 apostles. So he says, at the regeneration, when I come again, when the Son of Man, he sits on his throne to rule and reign in the millennium, he says, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones. So we have the 12, right? Now, we know Judas Iscariot was taken out. And the question is, who's that 12, right? I don't think it's Matthias. I think it's Paul. But there's different opinions. But there's going to be 12 that sit. Now, notice it says, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, think about it. If Israel, remnant of Israel, is going to come back into the land and repopulate Israel, they're going to be judging Israel, right? Ruling and reigning with Christ, right? They're going to be in resurrected bodies. They're going to be people that they're going to populate the boundaries of the Abrahamic covenant. They're going to live onto the millennial kingdom, this remnant of Israel, and the church is going to be ruling and reigning with Christ over them, all right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is Paul's writing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Remember that scripture? Remember Paul, he's talking about to the Corinthian church, why are you taking each other to court, secular court? You're Christians. Do you not know that you're going to judge the world? And what's he referring? He's talking about the millennial kingdom. This is not figurative. He's saying, in the millennial kingdom, you're going to be in your resurrected body. Do you not? You're going to be judging those that are living in this millennial kingdom. And it says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? If the Lord has entrusted his church to judge in the millennial kingdom, you have the scriptures, you have the Holy Spirit. Can you not judge amongst yourselves? Why would you go to a secular court? That's his point. That's what the Corinthian church was doing. They were bickering against each other. They couldn't get along. They were taking each other to court. Now, let me give you some other passages in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Remember, this is a message to the church in Thyatira. He tells them this, but hold fast what you have till I come. The second coming, right? And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So hold on in this life of faith until I come. And then I'm going to give you power over the nations. You're going to rule and reign with me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. This is to the lukewarm church, Laodicea. He writes this. To him who overcomes, if you become hot, don't remain lukewarm. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. That's in the millennial kingdom. You see, the church is going to sit on thrones judging with Christ those that are living on this earth. There's going to be perfect righteousness, perfect justice. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. Remember, that's the scene in heaven. Remember after Revelation 3, the final letters to the churches, right? The rapture occurs, the church is in heaven. Remember, we noticed 24 thrones in heaven. It was symbolic of the church. Remember, we put this together to you. Remember when we went back to Ezekiel's vision of heaven? Ezekiel 1, and we went back to Isaiah's vision of heaven, Isaiah chapter 6. Remember the similarities of John's vision of heaven? In Revelation 4, what was the difference? Was the 24 thrones. Remember, everything else was the same. The living beasts, or the living creatures there, right? The angels. Everything was the same. The colors and all that. But the 24 elders. Remember, so we noted that the difference was the church was raptured. Remember, we put that together, right? And so the 24 thrones there are symbolic of the church. And the church, remember, they're wearing stephanos, the crowns of victors, not the crowns of kings, not the diadems, right? And so it speaks of the church. They live this life of faith. They finish the race, and now they have the stephanos. Okay, so Revelation 4, verse 4 says this. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. This speaks of the church. They're on thrones. They're going to rule and reign with Christ when he returns. And then Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. This is to these same 24 elders. After Revelation 4, we see the 24 elders on the thrones. But in Revelation 5, remember that's when the Lamb who receives the scroll, which is introduced, that's the title deed to the earth. Well, the 24 elders, they say this. It says, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." These are the 24 elders. How are they going to reign on the earth? Well, this is the church. They're going to return with Christ, and they're going to rule and reign physically, okay? These are New Testament scriptures that support the interpretation of a physical thousand-year rule and reign of Christ. The church is going to rule and reign. The bride, the wife of the Jesus, is going to rule and reign with him in this house, the millennium. Going to leave the Father's house, and as a married, right, bridegroom and bride, they're going to rule and reign in their house, which is going to be the millennial kingdom. Okay? Now, let me take you to some Old Testament scriptures. I'm going to have to cherry pick on these because there's 6 pages of Old Testament scriptures. All speaks of the millennial kingdom. I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to give you the addresses though, okay? All right? So, firstly, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. That's the Davidic covenant. Let me just kind of pull out a few verses of that. Right? It says in verse 12, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers," he's speaking to David, "I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." He's speaking of Messiah Jesus coming from the seed of David. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." I believe this is not just spiritual. It is physical as well. And he goes on to write, "And your house," verse 16, "and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the millennial kingdom. It's from the seed of David. Jesus is going to rule and reign. Okay? This is the Davidic covenant promised to David. Now, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Let me read just a couple sentences from there. It says, "And all nations shall flow to it." This is in the millennial kingdom. "Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people." He's describing in the thousand-year rule and reign in Christ, the nations are going to come to Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. Can you imagine that? We're going to go get a Bible study from Jesus. We're going to worship him right at the throne there. This is what's going to be happening. This is what is being described in the prophecy of Isaiah. Not only here, in many of the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. Let me read a few verses from here. In verse 4, it says, "But with righteousness he," the Lord, "shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." It's going to be perfect justice. "He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." Sounds like Armageddon to me, right? Sword coming out of his mouth, judgment, right? And then glory's going to follow. "Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." Verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead." And can you imagine? Even the animal kingdom is going to be tamed. Can you imagine? A child's going to have perhaps a lion as a pet. Can you imagine that? It's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." No more carnivores. It's going to be reestablished how it was like in the Garden of Eden. That's how it's going to be life in this millennial kingdom. Can you imagine? I don't know about you. I look forward to that life. This life, oh my goodness. I'm looking forward to that life. It's always upward and forward, right? That's where we want to look. It says, "The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." So a little child's going to hang out with the viper. No problem. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. Jesus is going to be there, making sure all this will come to pass. There's more. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 20 through 22. Let me read verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. Can you imagine that? If you die in the millennium at 100 years old, you're a baby. You're going to live hundreds of years. Because there's going to be healing of the nations. This is how life was supposed to be, but because of sin. Now that sin is being dealt with, and anybody that tries to sin, they're going to be dealt with. We're going to rule and reign with righteousness. Satan's going to be bound, no more to deceive. It's going to be life as it should be on this earth. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Let me read from verse 17. It says, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your father. In the millennial kingdom, there's no longer going to be a northern tribe or a southern tribe. They're going to be as one, and they're going to possess the land to the fullness of the boundaries given to the Abrahamic covenant. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Now, I'm doing this on purpose. I'm giving you all these scriptures. There is a wealth of scripture on the millennial kingdom, especially in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Let me read verse 5 to you. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And he's going to be called the Lord of our righteousness. Jesus is going to rule and reign with righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 18, another one. Let me read from verse 15. It says, in those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. He's going to rule and reign with righteousness, right? In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the time by which she will be called the Lord our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Nor shall the priests, the Levites, lack a man to offer burnt offerings before me, to kindle grain offerings and sacrifice, and to sacrifice continually. Now, we noted this in the book of Ezekiel. When the Lord returns, there's going to be sacrifice again in a rebuilt temple. Because there's still those that are going to be living on this earth that have to live by faith. Even though Jesus will be there by sight, there's an aspect of faith. And so there's going to be sacrifices still. But then there's also going to be priests and Levites right there in the land. This is what's being described in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 17. Another scripture on how life is going to be in the millennial kingdom. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 16 through 38. I won't have time to even cherry pick on that one. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 through 28. This is that, when we studied Ezekiel, this is that reference that, you know, David, he's going to be in his resurrected body. Remember the resurrection of the Old Testament saints? At the end of the tribulation, in that 75-day interval, David's going to get a resurrected body, and he's going to rule and reign right there as the prince, right there in Jerusalem, right around the temple. That's going to be his possession. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24 and 25, they record that. But you want to read Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. Also, Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. What's this referring to? As Ezekiel referred to, there'll be a time when there is no temple. That's the time they are in now. There is no sacrifice. But there's going to be a time when Jesus returns. There is going to be a rebuilt temple, and there is going to be sacrifice. There are going to be priests. And this is all going to be done in the millennial kingdom. That's in Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Mark that in your notes. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. And then Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Let me read a couple verses from there. Micah chapter 4, verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There's going to be perfect peace. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord's host has spoken. You know, I just picture this. Everybody's going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to say, Jesus, teach us. Can you imagine that? The nations are going to come. And if they get out of line, there's going to be perfect justice. If you break the law, he's going to know. Perfect justice. Nobody's going to go to court and have injustice pronounced. It's all going to be fair and just. This is all in the millennial kingdom. Does that sound good to you? Now, there's more. I don't have time. Does that sound good to you? It sounds very good to me. It's like, come, Lord Jesus. This life is passing away. This life is so far from that. We should not be building our life on this world. We should be building our life on what? The world to come. Our future, our hope, is this. And that's why Paul and Scripture as a whole goes on to teach us, right? It's never backwards, people. It's always upward and forward. We have our mind set on eternity. And as we have our mind set on eternity, that's where our hope is. And that's going to help us live this life of faith in the here and now. I'm going to close with a comment by John MacArthur. And this kind of is it's going to get you thinking about eternity, okay? Anybody tired of this world? Anybody tired of what they're going through? I'm tired of it. I don't even have it half as bad as many of you. I'm ready. This is what MacArthur writes. He says, imagine a world. Listen to this. Imagine a world dominated by righteousness and goodness. A world where there is no injustice, where no court ever renders an unjust verdict, and where everyone is treated fairly. Imagine a world where what is true, right, and noble marks every aspect of life, including interpersonal relations, commerce, education, and government. Now, I find this interesting because this is what's going to be in the millennial kingdom. There's going to be interpersonal relationships. There's going to be commerce. There's going to be education. You know, there's going to be government. It's going to be the Lord's government. It's going to be the Lord's commerce. It's going to be God's education. Can you imagine how good that's going to be? It's how it should be now. It's how it will be in the millennium. Imagine a world ruled by a perfect, glorious ruler who instantly and firmly deals with sin. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him. Well, that world will become reality in the millennium. It will be 1,000 years of perfect rule by a perfect king. And we, his bride, the church, will rule with him. It will be a glorious time of reaping by sight what was sown by faith in the here and now. And after that, it will even get better in the eternal state. Revelation 21 and 22. You know, people, stay faithful. Be encouraged. Revelation 1 through 19 was only the introduction. Best is yet to come. Keep going. The best is yet to come. Stay faithful.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by the teaching, and join us again as we continue to study the Word of God. Once again, you can always visit us on our homepage at ccechopark.com for more information and teachings from Pastor David. To God be the glory.